Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. When we opened the lines last week, we got so many requests to do a show about how to manage stress and stay balanced and recharged this year. We are dealing with so many stressful events, the pandemic, the climate crisis, a surge in hate crimes, and of course, nonstop breaking news. And there are also personal issues. So what do you do to manage stress and stay balanced? Today, we are joined by three incredible guests. Dr. Heming Cho is the owner of Body Tao Acupuncture in San Francisco and Marin Integrative Acupuncture in San Rafael. A doctor of Korean and Chinese medicine, Dr. Cho treats many issues, including back pain, headaches, stress, insomnia, fertility, digestive disorders, and burnout. She's also secretary and co-chair of Progressive Democrats of America, San Francisco, and Progressive Democrats of California. And full disclosure, when I was dealing with chronic stress, I saw Dr. Cho, and she is incredible. Hi, Dr. Cho. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for having me on.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Nadine Shaw Landisfader. Nadine teaches yoga at Yoga Love and Black to Yoga in Oakland. Black to Yoga is a studio that envisions a world where Black people have access to this life-enriching practice. Nadine also teaches Zumba dance classes at 24-Hour Fitness in Richmond and is the founder of Breathworks CPR, an organization that teaches people CPR and first aid. Hi, Nadine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Rose. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Julio Garibay, a licensed clinical social worker with his own practice, providing individual and family therapy via telehealth. He incorporates a social justice lens to analyze how our intersecting identities, cultural and social forces impact our mental health. Julio works with the Grateful Heart Holistic Therapy Center. That's an organization that provides affordable psychotherapy to individuals, couples, and families throughout the Greater Bay Area and California. Anyone can actually see Julio because of telehealth in California. Hi, Julio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Rose. Thank you for inviting me here with you.
Great to have you all. Thank you so much and happy new year. And if you'd like to join us, I'll give out the number earlier this time around, just because you might have some questions right away. If you have any questions for our guests about how to manage stress, to stay balanced, if you want to share stories about how you've been affected by all of the issues that we're dealing with, we would love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. So let's first start off by asking you all to talk about how you came to your practices. Dr. Cho, why don't we start off with you? Tell us about your path to becoming a doctor of Korean and Chinese medicine.
Thank you, Rose. Well, the short version is, if I can make a short version, when I had an ulcer at 13, my parents invited a Korean acupressurist and acupuncturist to the house to give the diagnosis. And later I met a many generation lineage practitioner, Master Yu, who taught me his system combining acupressure and acupuncture. And then because I was training in martial arts, a lot of my teachers were acupuncturists and influenced me in that way. So then that's what got me on the path. I wanted to do work that was of substance, that would be sustaining and life-giving to me and to others, and to be of service in the world.
And we'll talk later in the show about what you do, especially for people who are not familiar with acupuncture, just what it is and what a session is like. What about you, Nadine? How did you come to teach yoga, Zumba, breath work, and then you also teach CPR and first aid? So first off, how did you come to teach yoga and Zumba?
Oh, I have a dancing background, so I got introduced to Zumba through a weight loss program that I was doing. And But also I'm getting a mature age. So I realized that I've been doing Zumba for almost 10 years. And I realized at some point it's time to, you know, to kind of slow that down a little bit. So I was always participating in and out with yoga, but I never really thought about teaching it. And then one day I decided that, since I, like I said, I was getting starting to get a little older, I started to need to slow down a little bit with Zumba. I decided I would teach yoga. And so during the process of learning how to teach it, I had an aha moment where I really realized how beneficial this is and how it can make you, you know, how does it make you feel both physically and mentally and spiritually. I wanted to be able to share that with others, particularly people of color, that they can share that to release stress and trauma and all that. That's the short of it. CPR was something that I had learned from. That's a long story, but it was something that I had learned a while back to teach when I was medical assistant a long time ago. So I just love teaching. So I like to do anything where I can service people.
It was so interesting reading your bio and learning that you teach CPR. How important is it for, you know, average people to know CPR?
Oh, everyone should know. Everyone, because, you know, most of the time, 80% of the time, someone may go into cardiac arrest to be a family member. And so it's good that everyone knows what to do. As if, you know, you, basically with CPR, what you're doing is buying time until you have professional workers. But that time that you're buying is, you know, is incredible. You know, it's life-saving. So everyone should know how to do that. And you don't necessarily have to, you know, breathe or anything. You can just do hands-on. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that later.
I spent all day talking about that.
And the power of breathing, that's so important. What about you, Julio? What made you decide to go down this path to become a therapist?
Well, I think it goes back to my upbringing in East LA. I grew up in East LA, and you know, you just see how much the impact of just racism, you know, social cultural trauma has on folks. And not at the time, not knowing what I was going through growing up in East LA and growing up in an immigrant family, you know, I feel like I was carrying just different elements of trauma, you know, anxiety, depression growing up, but I didn't know I was going through any of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once I got to a stage where I was out of East LA and I was able to reflect like, wait a minute, all these things that I grew up with weren't normal. It made me just realize the importance of mental health and just seeing other folks within my family struggle with different, you know, levels of mental health. Like it just inspired me to go back to that and be able to just tap into that piece of, you know, what was missing back then and how I can generate hope, you know, to other folks that were or that are in similar situations that I grew up in. So,
Dr. Cho, hearing Julio talk about childhood trauma and even trauma as a teen and maybe in your early 20s, can you talk about what that kind of trauma and stress really does to your body and your overall well-being?
Yes, I came to this country when I was 2 and my parents and our family were undocumented. And so that meant that they had to really work very hard and try with vitamins and healthy food to keep us all safe and healthy because we had no health care. And I definitely think that growing up, seeing your parents stressed out and just working their hearts out, sometimes 6 or 7 days a week, you feel it because children absorb all of the emotions of their parents. And I believe that that's what led to my ulcer when I was 13. I think that what it feels like as a kid is just feeling unsafe. And I think as an adult, but also, you know, kind of just sad and guilty for parents having to work that hard. And as an adult, I think that childhood trauma, poverty, brings you to feeling responsible for lifting people up in the world, but at the same time, heartbroken, like during the Atlanta spa killings of, I believe, 8 people were murdered and 1 person was injured. You know, these kinds of repeated things that are an aspect of people in the world putting their anger or their hatred onto an unsuspecting group of people is, you know, again, sort of re-traumatizing. And I think that the way out of that is health and healing and getting away from divisions and noticing if somebody is a demagogue and needs to be the citizenry to come together in order to pull ourselves away from that hatred and division, because clearly we cannot solve our world problems using those nationalistic ties, those backward thinking models. And what we need to move toward is agreeing that health and healing is what everyone deserves, dignity and a place to live, and the ability to work is what everyone deserves.
Julio, does that speak to you? I mean, can you talk more about how some of what you experienced as a child and maybe in your teens really affected you? And then what sort of stories can you share about some of the people that you work with? Because I know you've also done work with gang intervention programs.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to just trauma, you know, as I mentioned earlier, like when you're in it, when you're growing up in an environment where all you know is, you know, a helicopter waking you up in the morning, looking for someone, or a helicopter at night, you know, looking for someone, or shootings, or, you know, hearing sirens, you know, every day, you know, it, you feel like it's normal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once you are out of that element, so after high school, I went to UC Berkeley, and, you know, I just realized that it just wasn't normal. So when I would tell people that I was from East LA, they would kind of look at me like, well, wait a minute, how are you here? And I'd be like, well, things are just, you know, normal. You just deal with them. But at the time, I did, again, just know that some of these things weren't normal. So once I was able to experience what wasn't normal, what was normal, well, quote unquote normal, like the piece of like the trauma that I carried. So for example, I would always walk around just looking to my sides, make sure that, you know, when I was walking, I was able to hear if anybody was approaching me. Again, just based on just how you always had to be on alert. In East LA or any neighborhood that's similar to East LA, you just have to be on the lookout. So once I was out in Berkeley, I would still carry myself the same way. But then I realized, like, wait a minute, why? There's nothing that's going to happen here.
Wow.
You would hear of, you know, people getting mugged here and there, but it just the same level of fear, the same level of being on survival mode just wasn't there anymore.
You know, Julio, I'm just thinking that we really need to do a show about how youth are dealing with this, because we're hearing about, you know, gun violence or, you know, the robberies that happen at the high-end stores in San Francisco and all of this. What are these young people actually dealing with on a day-to-day basis? I mean, I think that that's what's really missing from the conversation. So, you know, I'm thank you so much for bringing that up today, because I think it's so important. What are you all hearing from the people you work with? And has anything changed over the last 5 or 10 years? And Nadine, what about your students at Black to Yoga? What are some of the issues and the discussions that you're all having?
Well, you know, right now with everything being virtual, we don't really get a chance to talk as much as we like, you know, when we'd like to. But at any rate, people are stressed, you know, due to, you know, the things that are going on in society, and also with COVID too. People are very stressed out. But they, once they've are able to just breathe a little and do a little bit of movement, they start to realize how much they are keeping in. And they start to realize once they start moving and they can exhale, then they realize, you know, that, wow, this is nice feeling. This is nice and, you know, this is how it should be, relaxing. But yeah, they are, you know, they are real. People do know that they're tense. And like Julio was mentioning, they don't really quite realize how tense and stressed they are until they start moving, until they start breathing. And then they feel that release.
Can you talk about how important it is to move? Because now that we're in, you know, 2 years plus of COVID, a lot of people were talking about how they really did move in the beginning. And then all of a sudden it was just more sitting time and not as much moving time. Or those of us who are also dealing with personal issues, maybe we just don't, you know, create the time to move. So just tell us how important it is, even for 15, 30 minutes a day, to be sure to move.
It can be even less. It could just be, you know, it could be 5 or 10 minutes as well. It's very important. And like I said, you realize, you know, you don't realize how much you're holding in until you do start moving. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, let this go. But yeah, it's very important that you move, you know, also physiologically, you know, because the blood's going through your body and everything as well. But mentally, it's just something that needs to be done just to get yourself away from whatever it is that is contributing to the stress. And that can just simply just being in front of a computer all day. And for example, you know, it's a teacher and he's, you know, doing distant learning all the time. So sitting there in front of that computer all day, yeah, you don't feel like you're stressed, but you are stressing, right? Because you're in the same cramped position. Just to get up and to move your hands around, or to, you know, just to stand a little and just, you know, shake your legs or something like that. Now, you'd be surprised how much that can do to your, how much that can do to your mind.
Dr. Cho, what really stands out for you in your conversations with patients, and what has changed over the past few years?
Wow, that's a really big question, Rose. I think I want to highlight the things that have just been said. I think Nadine's really hit on a lot of things about being able to breathe and move your body. I think the things that has changed the most for my patients is that the lack of contact with family members and friends and just, you know, sort of tertiary, secondary connections has really increased our level of stress, because we're people and social beings, and even the most sort of introverted of us really needs human contact, love and affection, and just that daily knowing others and knowing a kind of physical life reality that we're largely unable to have right now. I think it's hardest on teenagers, children, elderly, because of their lack of contact. And I think it's also really hard on people in their 20s, because that socializing is so critical in the 20s and the teens. I also think that whatever fears and anxieties we're having is being increased by the fact that social media and media has become a much larger reality rather than people's physical daily life in a normal way of working. And so without having that that calm presence and daily habits that give us that calm and ease, I think that there's more of a tendency to have anxiety and deep, deep depression, and just not having a balanced way of connecting with people anymore. The lack of socializing has really sharpened the differences in us in terms of our level of poverty and wellness financially, as well as our really deep need for other people.
Are you seeing an increase in stress-related ailments?
Absolutely. I think that the skin issues that are related to stress are exploding. I think that people who had addiction issues before, those have become tougher. I think that anxiety and depression is much more huge, even though it's already been a huge problem. I think that it's gotten steeply, steeply worse. And then just regular diet and exercise, even though some people have vastly more time, other people have a lot less time. And even if people have the physical time, the mental space and emotional space to be able to attend to those practices is less. Because I think people are living in fear, and I think that fear is realistic, and yet at the same time, I think that it's become less manageable, because again, it's hard to counterbalance when the unknowns are so pressing and so dire.
Julia, what about you? What really stands out for you when you think about what your patients are dealing with?
You know, right now, I feel like a big theme is definitely, I want to say, grief and loss. I previous to starting my private practice, I was working at LAUSD. So, and I was working at a high school out in South LA, and just the element of just loss because of the pandemic just stood out. It was like at the, you know, last year around the same time, it was every week, every other week, you would hear of a parent, you know, dying, an aunt, a grandmother, you know, and these, and this is a school that has primarily Latino and Black students. So, you know, this is again when the vaccines were barely, you know, starting to roll out. So we were really seeing just the impact of inequities, you know, within, you know, the community. So the theme of grief and loss to, or just quote unquote normal day of life, normal way of just interacting and just being connected with each other, which then, you know, triggers anxiety and depression, like, you know, just not having the sense of stability and safety. I feel like those are three of the big themes, grief and loss, anxiety and depression, when it comes to, you know, working with the clients I've been working with.
You reminded me of a piece in the LA Times that I read last month, and the headline really says it all. Young Latinos in California are dying of COVID at an alarming rate, and the effects could be felt for generations. As you say, it's grandmas, it's brother-in-laws, it's, I mean, and the family members are just really struggling with this.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, the thing is that, like, the impact, yeah, it is felt, you know, through generations, because, you know, when Latino families, sometimes we live in multi-generational homes, you know, where it's like you have three generations in a single home, or, you know, during the weekends, you might have a carne asada, and it might be like, you know, four generations there every weekend or every other weekend. And yeah, when, you know, with COVID, just things just spread so easily, and, you know, people are impacted. There's so much disinformation that goes on that people are just, you know, scared. Like, what if I, you know, get a vaccine and it, you know, it turns me into a reptile? You know, it just, there's just so much misinformation that, you know, just impacts our community.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. That is Julio Garibay, a licensed clinical social worker with his own practice providing individual and family therapy via telehealth. Julio incorporates a social justice lens to analyze how our intersecting identities, cultural and social forces impact our mental health. Julio works with the Grateful Heart Holistic Therapy Center, an organization that provides affordable psychotherapy to individuals, couples, and families throughout California. Nadine Shaw Landesfader teaches yoga at Yoga Love and Black to Yoga in Oakland. Black to Yoga is a studio that envisions a world where Black people have access to this life-enriching practice. Nadine also teaches Zumba dance classes at 24-Hour Fitness in Richmond and is the founder of Breathworks CPR, an organization that teaches people CPR and first aid. Dr. Heming Cho is the owner of Body Tao Acupuncture in San Francisco and Marin Integrative Acupuncture in San Rafael. A doctor of Korean and Chinese medicine, Dr. Cho treats many issues, including back pain, insomnia, digestive disorders, and burnout. She's also secretary and co-chair of Progressive Democrats of America, San Francisco chapter, and Progressive Democrats of California. And today we are talking about how to manage stress and stay balanced and recharged this year. We would love to hear from you. What do you do to manage stress? This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Since we got a request to do today's show, we decided to do shows about health for the next couple of days. So tomorrow we're going to talk about the benefits of adding more fruits and vegetables to your diet. A recent study published in the American Journal of Medicine found that those who eat a plant-rich diet are less likely to catch COVID or end up in the hospital. So we'll talk about the science behind all of this and how you can make changes to your diet to improve your well-being. We will also talk about access because we know there are so many food deserts across the country. Today we're talking about how to manage stress and stay balanced. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have questions for our guests, or if you have your own tips or a story to share, if you have dealt with a heavy personal issue or something else in your life, and you figured out how to balance it all, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Dr. Heming Cho is the owner of Body Tao Acupuncture in San Francisco and Marin Integrative Acupuncture in San Rafael. Nadine Shaw Landisfodder teaches yoga at Yoga Love and Black to Yoga. She also teaches Zumba dance class at 24-Hour Fitness in Richmond and is the founder of Breathworks CPR. Julio Garibay is a licensed clinical social worker with his own practice. He's doing telehealth in California, incorporating a social justice lens with his work. We have a question from Ruby who says, thank you so much for doing this show. The practitioners you have on are keeping so many people alive and sane. Do they know of any free services in their professions that would help, for instance, a single mom with kids who works a few jobs? If people have ACA or Medicaid, are they covered for acupuncture and yoga? My union covered acupuncture, which I was so very grateful for, and it was amazingly helpful. Dr. Cho, do you want to take that one first?
Sure. I believe that American College of Chinese Traditional Medicine still takes Medicare and Medicaid, and they have a sliding scale with different options so that you can see teachers who are currently teaching their students during the clinic, and that's in Potrero Hill. I also know that all acupuncture should be covered by every insurance company, so at any level, you should be able to find acupuncture treatments. I know that Kaiser provides 12 treatments a year, and there's also San Francisco Community Acupuncture, and I believe that their rate starts at $60 for the community room.
Okay, great. And we will put these resources on our website, yourcallradio.org. And Nadine, what would you add?
I'm trying to think. I know for yoga, our organization called Breathe for Change, they have some weekly Monday classes that are free. Of course, it's virtual, but they are free and open to anyone who would like to join. So join in them. I'm trying to think. I don't know of any others that are, you know, that are free. I know there are some, you know, places that have, like Black to Yoga also would have something that, you know, it'll make a free pass for, you know, for a first-time student. Unfortunately, I don't have any other answers to that.
Yeah, I was just looking at the Black to Yoga website. You can get a single class for $10, a three-class pass for $20, and then there's so many free classes movement classes, yoga classes online. What about you, Julio? What would you add? Grateful Heart is offering affordable psychotherapy to individuals and families throughout California. And there's also sliding scale therapy.
Yes, definitely. So if y'all do check out Grateful Heart, there's just a lot of clinicians there that specialize just on working with different populations. So that would be one resource. I believe sliding scale fees start at $50. So let's say that, you don't have insurance or your insurance won't cover, but you find a clinician that you feel might be able to work with you. Y'all can always talk to the therapist or clinician. I use them interchangeably, but y'all could talk to them. And, if they have availability, they can definitely work something out with you. Aside from that, I always recommend contacting your local Department of Mental Health. I'm actually in Southern California. So out here will be the department, LA County Department of Mental Health, but just contacting them directly can just offer more opportunity to be able to gain access. And so that you're not dropped, the ball's not dropped anywhere, because let's say that it's taking, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you haven't heard from anybody, like a community agency, contact your local mental health department directly and just let them know that you really need services, just because sometimes, there's just so much bureaucracy that the ball is dropped at times.
Exactly. And then just doing research for the show, looking at a number of therapy sites that do offer sliding scale. Most of the sliding scale slots are taken for so many therapists. So, just keep at it. I helped someone deal with major depression over the last 3 years. It's a lot of work. You have to really be patient, breathe a lot, and you will find what you're looking for. It just really takes persistence. So thank you for those tips. And we have a caller who's got some tips on free classes. Let's go to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show. Hi, Judy. Are you with us? Oh, all right. Let's try to figure out what's going on with Judy. It could be we had to join on Zoom today. So is that the issue, Kevin, that maybe I can't hear Judy? All right. We'll try to connect with Judy in a minute. We have another email from Diane who says, do your guests have suggestions on how to deal with coworkers' anxiety and stress, especially bosses' stress? It's hard for me not to take it on, and the things that have helped me so far are a meditation app and trying to do self-care as much as possible, slowing down, reducing screen time, trying to control my own portions when eating. And thank you for the show. Any tips, Dr. Cho?
I think that this is a really important question, because I think everybody is under stress, and those relationships at the workplace can kind of become unbalanced for that reason. One of the most basic things I tell my patients is to ground and center and put up an energetic force field around themselves every day. And starting that way helps you to individuate and notice that even if everybody else's hair is on fire, yours does not have to be. And then I think the second and third thing that I would say is go outside every single day, even if it's for 5 minutes, even if it's at night, because just connecting with nature will bring you back into a feeling of wellness. And I guess the third thing I would say is that if you haven't slept well, then that in and of itself can make everything else feel unmanageable. So sleeping well, eating, drinking plenty of water, doing all those basics can make you feel grounded, so that even when you're in a stressful relationship or communication style, just notice that what is you and what is not you, and that you're in control of what is you. And so that's the decision point of not taking it on.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for the email, Diane. I hope that helped. Let's talk a little bit about the work that you all do. I want to make sure we spend time on that. And we just got an email from Megan who says, I'm writing to express how important dance has been for me, especially now more than ever. After 5 weeks off, we danced in person last night in the studio. I felt the large weight coming off during class. I'm a new mom to twins, and my dance class is the only true escape I give myself weekly. When I dance, I don't think about anything else but the space we're in and what the instructor is telling us. I love her music, her way of teaching, and the studio itself. Megan says she dances at Shaw Anderson in Berkeley. Nadine, you talk about how the benefits between yoga and Zumba really serve different purposes for you. So talk about what Zumba really does, the benefits of just listening to music, releasing, and dancing. And for those who aren't familiar, can you also just tell us what is Zumba?
Okay. Zumba is a dance fitness that's Latin-based. So a lot of the music is, they mentioned, Latin-based. But it also has a lot of international and all kinds of other different types of music. And it is a fitness as well. So you're dancing, but you're also adding some fitness aspects to it, you know, doing some jumping jacks and things like that. For me personally, yeah, they do serve two different purposes for me personally. For one thing, when the other caller that mentioned about the co-worker and things like that, Zumba, you know, because the movements are so fast and so aggressive and for me, that is a wonderful way of releasing any type of tension or stress that you're feeling at that moment and getting so wrapped into the music and just letting yourself go, and you're feeling it and you're just releasing everything, you know, through movements and, you know, waving your arms or wiggling your hips and just, you know, just, you're just releasing all sorts of tension that you may be feeling in your body, and the music is usually phenomenal. And, you know, you usually are doing that as well. Yoga, though, however, for me, and this, again, this is just me speaking for my, and, you know, my purposes, yoga for me is more getting into that inner peace, going inside. So it's more like, I would call yoga more of an inner size thing, getting into interest, trying to find out, getting yourself centered, breathing. So that must be more of an inner size. Zumba is more of an releasing it out. Yoga is more bringing it in and getting yourself centered. Those are you know, my experiences of how I feel, how they both serve and purposes. I love the idea that she's talking about the dance. I love that.
Yeah, and, you know, and it is so important to remember to do that and to just kind of let yourself go once in a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if, you know, depending on the kind of work you do, you can check out Nadine and take some of her classes. Nadine Landesfader teaches yoga at Yoga Love and Black Tea Yoga in Oakland. She teaches Zumba class at 24-Hour Fitness in Richmond, and is the founder of Breathworks CPR, an organization that teaches people CPR and first aid. Let's take a couple calls, and then we'll learn more about acupuncture from Dr. Heming Cho. Let's hear from, and thank you for waiting, Chris in San Francisco. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Rose. Thank you so much for, as usual, such an outstanding panel. I want to say that one of my de-stress go-tos is your show, and particularly this morning, this is so synchronistic because I'm a psychologist. I work in substance use disorder treatment, and we learned last night that we were fully remote again. Mm. So normally I would go in and teach and or facilitate an art process group, which instead I got to do this morning over the Zoom. Then I grabbed my hand weights and went for a nature hike. But what I wanted to ask your panelists about, because they're talking about everything that I do and that I do with the people that I work with, but what I have found particularly effective for myself and others is to have a dedicated practice of gratitude. To really be conscious of all that we have to be grateful for.
That is so important, Chris. Thank you so much. Thanks for the work that you do. And I'm sorry you have to be virtual like so many of us. Dr. Cho, what about that? Just remembering to be grateful on a regular basis.
Absolutely. I think that on the flip side of what this worldwide pandemic has done is that it, because of the tragedy and because of the losses, we have in some ways focused and noticed how important our family is, how important our friends, our relationships, our connection to the earth, the health of this planet. I do think that it's amazing to hold gratitude, but also I guess what I would say is just deep, deep acceptance. Many times there are things that are happening in our lives or in the world that we have no control over, but deep acceptance of our small piece in it can make you more stabilized, because when you do your best and know that it's enough and that others can be doing their best and not doing great, but to recognize that they're doing their best and to accept them deeply for that, that is again this place where I think that that generosity and grace comes in. I feel so grateful every day that my mom is well. She's 80. I feel so grateful to have the patients that I do, because they are just amazing human beings, and just to be able to work and support them is incredible. But I also want to say that gratitude alone, without actually being activated in your daily life, I think that it's helpful to also have an outlet for our collective concern for each other, and to do what we can in the homeless communities and with our neighbors and friends who might be seniors, who might need help with childcare or whatever we're able to do safely from our homes, in our neighborhoods. I think that that also really helps me get through this.
Yes, it's such a great point, and thank you for saying that. For people who are not familiar with acupuncture, can you just tell us about the philosophy behind the practice?
Sure. Thanks for the question. There's this deep feeling in Asian philosophy that nature is the best teacher, and that nature comes in cycles, that there's night and day, that there are four seasons, and that when we live harmoniously with nature, our internal nature and the nature of our social group and the world, the earth herself, that we can be more in balance, because there is no perfection. In other words, nothing is the same. However, there is an imperfect perfection within all of us that when we come to a deep level of awareness of, we can feed ourselves better, and we can, when we fall out of balance, we can get back into balance more quickly and with less trauma, less grief, less judgment, and less damage to our bodies. So balancing sour, sweet, salty, for instance, spicy, bland, balancing the flavors in your meals, balancing out, let's say you're a type of person who's incredibly go, 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 and your real problem is not knowing when to stop. Balancing that go, go tendency with deep rest and enough relaxation and stillness. Or balancing, for instance, we're in the wintertime right now, but eating salads and cold drinks is probably going to endanger our digestive systems and not work well with the season that we're in. It might make your allergies worse. So finding ways of doing your life practices that will keep you as healthy and as vital for as many years as you care to be part of this human coil.
That is Dr. Haemin Cho, the owner of Body Tao Acupuncture in San Francisco and Marin Integrative Acupuncture in San Rafael, a doctor of Korean and Chinese medicine. Dr. Cho treats many, many issues, stress, insomnia, digestive disorders, and burnout. And you can find more about her work at yourcallradio.org. We're going to take calls in just a minute, but I want to make sure that we have a little bit of time with Julio, who's a licensed clinical social worker. Can you talk about, Julio, about the importance of talk therapy and why it's so important to not go through a lot of this on your own, to really have someone to talk to?
Yeah, it's super important. Talk therapy is different from talking to your best friend or someone that you really confide in about your issues. Just because you have a trained professional that, you know, will listen to you in a non-judgmental way, that will create a safe space to be able to share, you know, things that maybe you haven't shared with that best friend or that, you know, family member or whoever that person might be. It allows a space, like when you're in therapy, it allows, like, we as therapists, we're trained to talk about, you know, past traumas, current stressors, and draw connections to how our past traumas, how our past, relationships impact our current relationships. Just because a lot of these things go in cycles, and to even take it further, a lot of these things, sometimes a lot of these patterns of how you relate to others go generations back. So part of what we do, or part of what I do in therapy and other therapists do, is try to break some of those cycles to create generational change. Our elders, you know, say that things carry on for seven generations. You know, so it's like the positive and negative patterns are felt for seven generations. So when you, like, let's say you've been hesitating to start therapy, like, remind yourself that you going into therapy will be a change that will be felt for seven generations. So, it's just really important. You know, I wish, on my end, I wish I would have started therapy many years ago, you know, when I was a teenager, but I was just so caught up with the stigma that there is with mental health that, you know, I just didn't get to it till just recent.
Wow. That is such an amazing way to put it, that this will be felt for seven generations. That's really incredible. That is Julio Garibay, a licensed clinical social worker with his own practice. He's in Southern California, but because of telehealth, he can see anyone in California, and he brings a social justice lens to his work. I want to ask you all, our show is almost over, so I'm sorry. We only have about 30 seconds or a minute each, but we're getting a couple of emails from listeners who say that the topics that we discuss on the show, in many ways, we cannot influence these large factors, and yet they affect us so deeply. We have one listener, Kaveh, who says, kudos to your guests to help us get through this, because some of us seem to be a little influencing these larger factors. Any tips you'd like to leave us with? I mean, we're just getting so many emails on what else we can do here. Dr. Cho, 30 seconds to a minute.
Sorry, Rose, did you mean that he was asking about what he can do for the community or for himself?
For both. It's just that so many of the issues we talk about on our show, we can only do so much. These are just massive, massive problems that we're dealing with, and yet they affect us so deeply. So what other tips do you have for people who are affected by, you know, world affairs?
I would say on the inside, you need to limit your media diet to what you can actually absorb, and limit your activism to what you can do while sustaining yourself well. And for the inside, to every day make the commitment to find a certain amount of rest and space and peacefulness in your own heart, because you cannot support others when you yourself are failing.
Mm. What would you add, Nadine?
The same thing there. Basically, you know, take a little time to just turn the TV off or whatever and breathe and just close your eyes and just breathe deeply. Inhale for about four counts, exhale for four and exhale for five, and then just increase your exhales. But breathe and allow yourself to, you know, be still and go within and limit the time on the TV and limit the time with newspapers. And again, we talked about the gratitude journals. Go be grateful. Think of things to be grateful for that you have, that you are controlling in your life, that you have around you, and don't take those things for granted.
And Julio, what would you add?
I would add the same as what Dr. Sean Nadine shared. I would just add, you know, to listen to your body, you know, listen to your body. If you feel you need rest and you can get rest, even if it's a, you know, few minutes, slow down and then definitely listen to your body. If you feel you need, you know, someone to support you, you know, there's community members, there's family, you know, there's professionals, there's, you know, all kinds of folks out in the community that can help protect yourself. Definitely protect yourself, your mind, body, soul. During these times, we're just so bombarded with everything that sometimes just allowing yourself to not, you know, check the news every 30 minutes is something that can be, you know, just helpful. And then model the behavior that you want to see in the world. Set those intentions, you know, with yourself and how you want to carry out the rest of your day and just the rest of the year.
Really great advice. Thank you all so much. Julio Garibay is a licensed clinical social worker with his own practice, providing individual and family therapy via telehealth. He is seeing patients in California and incorporates a social justice lens to his work. Nadine Shaw Landisfodder teaches yoga at Yoga Love and Black to Yoga in Oakland. Nadine also teaches Zumba dance classes at 24-Hour Fitness in Richmond and is the founder of Breathworks CPR. Dr. Heming Cho is the owner of Body Tao Acupuncture in San Francisco and Marin Integrative Acupuncture in San Rafael. A doctor of Korean and Chinese medicine, she treats many, many issues, including burnout and stress. Julio, Nadine, and Dr. Cho, thank you so much for your important work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and Happy New Year. And we would like to wish a warm welcome to Chris Nooney, a new member of Your Call. Huge thanks to Chris for producing today's show, and thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.